Okay, so how are you feeling, Lena? Are you ready to get started?
I think let's go for it. Let's just delve right in.
Right. My time to shine. I feel like, Lena, you have not done a podcast ever before. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. I don't think I'm the only one that's super excited for this episode then. I think we're going to learn a lot about you. Lena, firstly, welcome to Brand Game Strong. It's such an honor and pleasure to have you here today. I'm so happy that this has worked out, despite the slight hiccups that we've had.
Thank you so, so much. Honestly, it's my pleasure being here. Thank you so much for asking me to be a part of this.
Oh, no, thank you. And I do want to share with everybody that we were going to record this a couple of months ago. And then the night before our recording, Lena sends me a 20-second voice note on WhatsApp going, "Hi, so I'm on my way to the hospital and my water's broken, so I don't think we can make it tomorrow." And I think I learned so much about you in that moment because you were so committed to your commitment to me. The next day, you were literally having a child and you were like, "I don't think tomorrow will work out. Can we do it later?" And I was like, "Yes, I agree. I don't think it'll work." But, you know, so that's what happened. And you had a baby the day we were meant to record, which is just, that's just unbelievable the way the world works, isn't it?
But it's pretty crazy. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I just feel like I don't like letting people down. Once I've got a commitment, I feel like I have to stick to it. I was even saying to Trishan, because I was sent home that day and I just had to kind of monitor for like 24 hours. I was like, maybe I can go and meet your body. And like, you know, I'm sure things will be okay. There's a hospital nearby.
Goodness me. I can't believe you even considered it. But no, that's exactly the kind of person you are. And, you know, I'm really at the risk of being very patronizing during this episode because I need to stop myself from gushing. So I'm just going to keep it very kind of mitts, take a chill pill. And we're going to start with the questions. So I want to start with talking about baby Lena. Because we've seen photos of baby Lena, and I feel like, for me anyway, when I'm interviewing people, understanding people's childhoods is a huge part of kind of understanding who they are and what motivates them. So let's talk about when you were younger. What influences did you have growing up? Were you shy? Were you bold? Were you studious? Were you introverted, extroverted? Tell us everything. And were you very thisy? Did you have a lot of like South Asian influences on you?
Very, very much thisy. I literally grew up watching Bollywood movies like day in, day out, and therefore dancing to a lot of it as the movies were playing. So I actually come from a family of four, which many people don't know because they think I'm an only child with the way I go about things. But anyway, there's four of us. I'd say I've come from a very kind of modest background. Money was never something that we had easily. So I did see kind of my parents working quite hard to provide us with the opportunities that they did. They never said no to us. They helped us to understand the value of money and how to spend it wisely. But at the same time, I saw the struggles that they kind of went through to provide us with opportunities, such as allowing my brother to go for his cricket training and his matches, and then the dance commitments for me, which doesn't come cheap, actually. So I think from quite an early on age, I learned about the value of these things quite a lot from my parents. But yeah, I am a very shy person, which a lot of people don't really see that side of me, because I guess to some level we put on a bit of a front to kind of fit into the environment that we're in. But internally, I feel like I'm quite shy. I was very introverted when I was younger, to a point where my brother actually had to help me make friends. But then when I was growing up, I had like a few friends at school. And what's really nice is two of my best friends from when we were in primary school are still my best friends to this date. And for me, everything always happens in three. There's always three of us or three of something. So from that part of my life, there's three of us and we've kind of call ourselves the Three Musketeers. Yeah, I was quite shy, introvert, but I had a good group of friends. I was a hard worker at school, but I also used to be kind of undercover naughty as well, but not in a way that would get me into trouble. It was always kind of really undercover. But I worked hard. I did work hard because I had quite high ambitions. I don't really know where it came from, but my mom always reminds me about this. I used to say to her when I was younger that I want to be a doctor and a dancer.
Okay.
And I don't know where it came from. I try and think back, but I mean, how much can you remember from when you were like 5 years old? And it was consistent. It wasn't kind of just a comment I made off the cuff. I kept saying it like again and again. So I feel like my parents kind of helped to keep that dream alive for me and kind of reminded me what I was working towards. My mom was very much, you know, strive for the best, work hard to get there. And it really encouraged me to do that. So yeah, I'd say I come from a very modest background. I was quite shy growing up and I was just focused on working hard to get what I wanted.
Mm. It's always the shy ones, isn't it? They surprise you. Yeah, I was shy too as a kid.
Really?
Yeah, had to work on it a lot to, you know, come out of that shell. And yeah, part of me is super awkward still.
Yeah.
But I've learned to mask it over the years. And I think you mask yours really well.
Yeah. I definitely think I do. And actually, dance, obviously we'll talk about this, but dance has really helped me to break that shy awkwardness sort of shell that I had, so I'm not as bad as I used to be.
Same. So let's talk about dance now that we've touched on it. So classical training, I understand you are trained in Bharatanatyam, is that correct?
And Kathak.
Okay. And how did you get into that? At what age, and did you enjoy it when you were doing it?
So I used to do a lot of Bollywood dancing in front of the TV at home, and my parents were well into it, watching me perform for them. And then actually an aunt came from India to visit, and she stayed with us for what felt like months, but was probably just a few weeks. And she saw me kind of dancing just here and there. And then she kind of mentioned to my dad, you might want to think about getting her enrolled into actual training. So mom and dad had a look around and they found these classical dance classes that were happening in Birmingham. We were actually just on the outskirts of Birmingham, but still with Midlands. And then I enrolled into the classes and it was pretty intense. I mean, for what age did I start? I started at the age of 8.
Okay.
And on a Saturday, I would spend 4 hours training in back-to-back classes. And 2 hours of Kathak and then 2 hours of Bharatanatyam. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I just felt like it was the space I needed to be in. It's really funny because my mom still reminds me to this date. I'd be sick in the week and I'd have to be off school. But as soon as it came to Saturday morning, I'd jump out of bed. I'd tell mom and dad, I'm absolutely fine. Let's go to dance class. And I'd be off to my classes. So at a young age, it was very obvious to my parents that I was kind of, I had a passion for dance and I wasn't going to let it go for being unwell. So yeah, I was very committed. I enjoyed it a lot. I think I enjoyed my Bharatanatyam class more than my Kathak class. But the reason for that is a lot of the other students in that class were all kind of around my age. Mm. So I had people of my own age to interact with and not play with. I didn't really play, but you know, it was just a nicer space for me. Whereas with my Kathak class, every single person was older than me by at least 10 to 12 years. So it was a completely different vibe, more of a mature class, which actually I think had an impact on how quickly I did mature.
Did you ever feel out of place in the Kathak classes?
Yeah, I did feel out of place, mainly because of my age. Sometimes the teacher would select the students to do performances, because I guess they're all similar heights and things as well. So aesthetically, it looks good for the stage. But I wouldn't be because I was still quite young, albeit maybe my training wasn't up to par at the time. So I did feel a bit out of place compared to my Bharatanatyam class.
Would you say you were ever insecure as a child in your abilities to dance or otherwise in your studies?
I don't recall feeling that insecurity when I was younger compared to what I feel now. I don't think I was aware of it. If I did feel it, I wasn't aware of it. But I don't recall any moment where I felt as though I wasn't good enough. And not to say I was big-headed or anything, but when it came to dance, nothing else really mattered. I just kind of got on with it. I felt like I was enjoying it. I didn't really think about how good or bad I was at it. And when it came to studies, I probably didn't feel as adequate, because you'd always hear about the scores of other children and whatnot. And my two best friends, actually, they were high achievers. They were so smart. And I would always get like grades that were below them. I would say I was probably mediocre, which is what made me work harder, because I was like, no, I want to be just as good as my friends. So I think actually that made me work harder to get to where I wanted to from a studying perspective.
Yeah. And I can imagine that would have also fed into other aspects of your life, right? Because you are such a high achiever naturally, but also you have a work ethic. And sometimes I just look at you and I just wonder, how is she doing it? You know, and I know we're going to come to this as well, but genuinely, like, what is that fire in your belly that keeps you going, even when you're going through adversity, even when you're in a class full of people who are 10 years older than you, still going? And when you're sick, you're still going?
I don't know what it is, Mithali. I've thought about this because so many people ask me. But I just feel that there is like this determination inside of me. And I really just want to, I know it may sound cliche, but I just really want to live life to my fullest potential.
Yeah.
I remember when I was at school and we were asked to do this presentation, and it could be on any topic. We just had to, like, it was just presentation skills. And everyone chose all these, like, you know, standard topics of things that they'd read or whatnot. And I did a philosophical topic on, and I remember my tagline was, life is a gift, value it.
Aww.
So I feel like it's quite organic to me, this sort of kind of living life to the fullest, doing your best and making the most of it. And, you know, life is so short. It's ingrained in me. I don't think my parents spoke about it much when I was younger. So I feel like it's something that's come from within. So I think that has carried me through. And I just feel like, well, I've got X amount of time. Am I going to sit here and watch TV, or am I going to be productive? It's all about productivity for me. Am I going to be productive and get X, Y, and Z ticked off my list? I've always got a to-do list. And there's a variety of things on there. Some just mundane things like empty the washing machine. And some others are like, get the remix ready, start recruiting the dancers. So much bigger. So I feel like the fire very much comes from within. I don't know where it kind of started, but along the way, it kind of produced itself. And I've always had this sort of busy lifestyle. And when I'm not busy, I feel like I'm wasting time.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds terrible because people should have a break. And don't get me wrong, now I feel like I've found a good balance where I know when I need to take a break and I do actually just switch off completely. I think that's the best way for me to answer that question.
Is it a coping mechanism for anything? This is a therapy session now.
This is a therapy session. Is it a coping mechanism? Back in the day, maybe not. Maybe, I think, I really struggle with imposter syndrome.
Okay.
And I feel as though at the times when you feel inadequate or you feel like you're not good enough, keeping busy, having plans, getting on with things kind of makes you forget about it. So maybe it is partially a coping mechanism. I haven't thought about it.
That's fair enough. The reason I ask you is because I'm similar to you now as an adult, you know, and for me, it is very much a coping mechanism, because I know that if I'm idle, then I start spiraling in a negative direction, and then I'll probably just not want to do anything or just, you know, sit in bed. Whereas when I'm doing stuff, I end up doing more stuff and I feel happier, more kind of fulfilled, I guess, like I'm using my time better. So it's interesting, but I know that a lot of people, we were talking about this earlier, isn't it? That a lot of people in our circle are very much like this, you know, they want to be doing lots of things. And I find it very interesting what drives that, because obviously not everyone, you know, chooses to spend their time that way. But I guess it does come down to just a fear of not having lived to the maximum. Like I always think, you know, 70-year-old Mitz, what's she going to think about, you know, me right now? What things did she care about? And should she have spent her time differently or cared about different things? So trying to think of it from that perspective. I mean, it's amazing, but also it's great that you said that rest is important, because if you don't rest, it's just like exercise, right? If you don't rest, your muscles are not going to grow. You're just going to break down. So, yeah. Okay, so we've spoken about your childhood and learning about sort of learned a bit more about your experience with classical training. Who were your dance role models growing up?
Definitely Madhuri Dixit.
Yeah,
I think she's a role model for a lot of people, especially my age. Oh gosh, I just used to dance to every single one of her songs. We used to have a Diwali show, annual Diwali show within the community. And every year there would be a Madhuri song that I would dance to a point where they used to call me Little Madhuri every year. When's Little Madhuri performing? So yeah, definitely her as I was growing up. And I think just my inspirations were mainly Bollywood, because I didn't know anything about the Hollywood industry, the singing industry, nothing. Everything in my life was Bollywood and Hindi, and that was basically it. So growing up, Karishma Kapoor, Sridevi, Rekha, they were kind of the idols, but my absolute favorite was Madhuri. So she was like, I just remember trying to like do thumkas the way she did it in the song Mera Piya Gharaya.
I'm literally thinking of that song, Lena, right now. I was just going to say, as soon as you said it, I was like, that song is Lena.
Yes, probably. Oh my God. Literally, oh my gosh. I would just literally copy everything that she would do in her movies. So from a Bollywood perspective, I would say that I basically learned from her. because I just copied all of her moves from all of her movies and then just kind of added in my own little zazz here and there. So yeah.
Oh, I love that. And that's perfect, actually, because I can totally see that in your dancing, like, because Madhuri is so versatile and so are you. So she's a great person to look up to, isn't she? Have you ever met her or would you want to?
I've never met her and I don't want to.
Okay, tell me about that.
I feel as though I don't want to be disappointed.
No offense, Madhuri.
No offense, Madhuri. I'm sure she's wonderful and the best. I mean, how can she not be? But I have met some celebrities and they haven't turned out to be the people you think they are or you see them as. And if I met my idol and she wasn't a nice person, I think it would crush me.
Yeah. Yeah. Your whole life would be a lie, wouldn't it?
It would be.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people see you as an idol, Lena, and that's definitely not the case with you. So I'm really glad that that's, you know, at least that holds true for us. So what part of your upbringing then would you say kind of contributed towards you, and I'm completely digressing now, but towards studying medicine? Because you said you wanted to be a doctor dancer. Mm-hmm. That's very specific. Like, was there anything you'd seen or heard or any value system that you believed in?
I wasn't a very well child. I didn't have hospital admissions, thankfully, but I was always at the doctor's with some sort of cough or cold or something. I was very anemic, so I'd always like have episodes of fainting.
Okay.
I don't know if that kind of contributed to me wanting to do this, but I remember going to see the doctors quite a lot, and I'd kind of look around the room and think, oh, this is really cool. He'll pull out all his cool equipment. I'm like, oh, I want to use that. And actually that doctor was also kind of a family friend who lived nearby, and we'd always go past his house to get to the park. I was en route and we'd see his house, then there'd be a smaller house and then a smaller house. It was basically the conservatory and the shed. And I'd be like, wow, he's got three little houses in there and I'd love to have that. I need to work hard to do the same thing that he has to be able to get the same three houses. I said that was going to buy his houses.
The shed as well.
The shed and all. So maybe it came from there. There was no kind of, thankfully, there was no significant health issues within the family. I think my dad at the time had angina, was in hospital for a few days, but that was it. Other than that, we didn't really, thankfully, come across anything. And then, so that kind of drove me towards a decision. But dance started to become quite a prominent pathway within my life.
Yeah.
As I was hitting my teens. It was literally the highlight of my life, the highlight of my week. Everything was just orientated towards dance and that's all I wanted to do. So at one point I did sit down with my parents and we had to have a discussion about what the next steps are, because I felt, okay, the dream was doctor dancer, but has that now changed? I've grown. Is the dream now dancer and no doctor? But then Desi parents being Desi parents, you should get a degree under your belt, like, you know, you can dance anytime, but now's the time to study. I mean, my parents are pretty easygoing, but I think the lack of opportunity that they had to study, they were then ensuring that we were able to have the opportunity and to be able to provide that for us. So I understand where it came from, but basically that conversation ultimately made me decide, okay, let me get on with studying as well. And to be fair, I was doing well at school. I did well in my A-levels. I thought, might as well give it a go, live life to the fullest, as I keep saying. So I kind of just went for it after that. I don't know if my heart was 100% in it.
Mm.
But here I am on the other end, and it's a totally different story now.
I love that you said might as well. You know how many people there are that do medicine as like their, you know, main one thing to focus on? You're like, ah, might as well do medicine as well. No, I do love it. Do you ever hold any resentment towards your parents about having had that conversation with them when you were younger?
Do you know what? I think I used to. When I was at university, there were so many times I was like, why did I listen to them? Why didn't I just listen to myself and just focus on dancing? But if I hadn't listened to them, I wouldn't be where I am right now. And I'm extremely happy with my current position. I wouldn't have had the experience that I had. I wouldn't have moved to London. And that was the complete turning point in my dance career, moving to London, where there was a sea of opportunities compared to Birmingham, quite small, quite kind of closed network. You only get the opportunities with the people that you're dancing with, and that's not very many. So I wouldn't have moved to London. I wouldn't have met the amazing people that I'd met. I wouldn't have Bolly Femme. I wouldn't have anything that I have right now if I had not come to London to study medicine. So I used to resent them for it, but when I look back at the decisions that I made back then, I think they were the right decisions in hindsight.
Our lives are weirdly interconnected, Lena, because I had a very parallel experience, maybe a few years down the line, where, you know, I'd finished uni, didn't know what I was doing. My parents were like, go into business, you know, start your own thing. Like, we're a family of entrepreneurs. There's a reason I'm telling this story. So when I moved back home after my degree, didn't have a job sorted. And at the time, I had seen you perform. I think it was on stage, and then it was, you know, on YouTube, or seen kind of you in videos, you and kind of the team that you were dancing at the time. And I just remember that was one of the reasons why I wanted to move back to London, because I was like, I want to dance like that. I want to learn from these people. I want to learn from Lena. Like, literally, this was, you know, this is what went through my head. And I can name you like other amazing dancers as well in London that I watched at the time. And I was just like, if I don't go to London, I'm not going to have this opportunity. And my parents said, well, then get a corporate job, get an income, and you can do whatever you want. And it was, you know, because once that stability is there, you can dance to your heart's content, right? Mm-hmm. But because also I think in our culture, it's very much this thing of get your stability, get your 9 to 6, you know, tie yourself down, and then do whatever you want after 6 p.m. Yeah. So it's amazing hearing that from you, because I kind of can like think back to my own experience and how seeing dancers in London and seeing the opportunities in London has actually like driven me to want to make decisions to come back. And it's absolutely paid off. Like I've had the opportunities to dance and learn from all the people that I wanted to. So it's actually amazing how we all sort of get drawn towards places like London in that sense, because that opportunity is there.
Yeah, definitely.
Super cool though, being able to talk about this now. Okay, so how does she do it all? That's a very common sort of phrase we hear about many women, and you very much fit in that category, Lena. I'm sure a lot of people wonder how you do it. So is that an illusion?
It's not an illusion. I am doing it all. Sometimes it's a bit too much for me, but I keep going. People around me help me to keep going.
Yeah.
A lot of this comes down to determination, doing what I want in my life, being able to achieve that, motivation. I have to be incredibly organized to make this work. Like, my diary is color-coded. I refer back to it all the time to make sure there's no clashes with anything. But ultimately, I am just living my life to my fullest potential and doing it the way that I want to. I'm not allowing anyone to dictate, tell me what to do, tell me what's the right thing, what's the wrong thing. I feel like I'm at a place in my life where I can make those decisions for myself. And I've been there for quite a while now, actually. But it's hard. It is such hard work. Like, sometimes, not sometimes, a lot of the times, my brain doesn't stop. I am always thinking. I'm thinking when I go to bed, I'm thinking about the other things when I'm driving. You know, I'd have these recurrent journeys from Birmingham to London quite a lot. And it became second nature for me to drive that route. So then it came to a point where I wasn't even thinking about where I was driving. I was thinking about routines and choreography, listening to music while I'm choreographing on the go. And like, my brain doesn't stop. Like, I actually struggled with insomnia for a good few years because I just didn't know how to stop thinking and stop working. So it has its pros and cons. Obviously, from the outskirt, it looks quite... enticing. It looks like it's the great life, but actually there are quite a few cons. Like, I can't get through a TV program and tell you at the end what happened in that TV program because I'm just like away with the fairies somewhere thinking about what I need to do as the next project and what tasks I need to complete. So it is hard. I think without the family help that I have, it would have been impossible.
Okay.
So Trishan, my husband, he's super, super helpful. He's very hands-on. And I mean, to a point where I've just had a baby. It's 3 months since I've had him. And Trishan and I have now swapped. So we're doing shared parental leave. So now he's doing 3 months of paternity leave whilst I recommence my career, so to speak. So I don't feel like a lot of partners would be open to that. I'm just grateful that we're able to do that and he's open to it. And you know, it's both of our children, it's not just my children, so why would I be the only one that takes care of them 24/7? I mean, I feel like the kind of attitude around it is changing, which is great, but I'm just really grateful that he's very supportive and very hands-on. His family are close by, and if we need childcare, they're usually available to help out. So I feel very lucky that I have that because my parents are still in Birmingham. So it's much harder for me to say, Mom, make a 3-hour journey, come over here and look after the kids. I need to go and teach a class. I do have to make some sacrifices though. So for example, if, you know, I don't have childcare for a specific day and I've got a class on the same day, then I'll just say, right, I'll plan it in advance. So I'll cancel that class and it just won't happen. And, you know, all my dancers will know beforehand. So it's not a big deal, but I do lose some of the regularity of it. Whereas pre-kids, that was an issue. Like, I was able to just do what I wanted when I wanted. So it's hard work. I'm lucky to have a good amount of support. But again, I just want it. I want it all, Mithali.
And you're getting it all. But I guess it's that thing of, you can't quite have it all at the same time. There will be trade-offs. There will be days where you can't sleep properly because there's so much going on in your brain. And I do totally get that maybe that is not for everybody, because I think people might think they want it all, but they might not actually want to be able to do what it takes to get it all, right?
Yeah.
And definitely. Might not have like the support around them.
Yeah.
Because I think so much is that privilege of, you know, having the people around you, having the parents that you've had as well, allowing you to do the things you want to do, obviously with conditions, because we're this and there's conditions to a lot of things. But no, it's nice to be able to kind of see it from that holistic view and not from a view of like, oh, yeah, just you can have it all. Beyonce has it all. So, you know,
yeah,
you can have it
all. The thing is, you never really see what's going on behind the surface.
Yeah.
So whilst everyone can see that, you know, I'm doing this and I'm doing that and they might want the same things, you don't see the grind that goes behind the scenes, the sacrifice that have to be made. Like, sometimes I've got work shifts in place and I can't make it to a dance event. And then I, you know, if I've got patients booked in, I'm not going to cancel those patients. So then I have to say, right, well, then I can't do the dance gig. It just reminds me of something that happened actually. When I was a GP trainee, I was working at a GP practice and I'd used up all of my annual leave for dance stuff. My annual leave was only for dance stuff, by the way, never for holidays. And then I had the opportunity of choreographing for this big event in London. And I was like, I need to do it, but I have no annual leave. What do I do? So I just thought, if you don't ask, you don't get. So I went to my GP partner and I just explained the situation to them. And it was just amazing how supportive they were. And they were like, that's fine, we'll just call it study leave. So I was able to do it. They made arrangements. So yeah, I was quite fortunate that that was like a one-off event.
Mm. I love that people around you supported you throughout that. You know, it's funny because actually you're completely right. If you're honest about it in places like work, where there's a lot of stigma around you should only be doing medicine and, you know, how dare you have other things. Okay, yeah, if you've got kids, that's different. But like if you have dance commitments, why would we let you go? But actually, I've been, you know, very open at work about for the last 6 years that I've been in this corporate job, like I do dance and I have at the time when you were teaching Mondays, I'd have Mondays. And then I kid you not, there was one Monday where my director went to me, don't you have dance? We had deadlines that week. She's like, no, but you go, like, well, you know, we'll catch up later. Like,
oh, wow.
That is the level. Like, it's unbelievable. But it's just because I was honest about it. And I was like, no, but that is part of me. And actually, like, the dancing is the reason why you get a more confident Mitali at work, you know?
So absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? When people, like, just, they surprise you sometimes.
They surprise you for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
So I have an eye on the clock and I've just got about 5,000 more questions for you. So so when times are tough, Lina, what is that anchor that gets you through?
My husband.
Aw.
I know. he's a solid foundation for me. And as with a lot of people, I'm sure, sometimes I go into a bit of a state of panic or like the anxiety just builds up and kicks in and you can't really think logically in those moments. But I can always count on him to be there to be the calm person that I need around me to help me think logically. And I will figure it out by myself, but it's just having that person who is calm, helping you kind of breathe through it and helps you just figure it out, I suppose. So I'd say he's my anchor. He definitely makes me a better person for sure. And he's kind of provided me with a better outlook on life as well. So he's completely the opposite to me.
Mm.
He's laid back. He's very logical. And he's very present in the moment. And that's something that I wasn't. I was never present in the moment because I was always thinking, overthinking about things that had happened and then forward thinking about things I need to get done. So being with him has really helped me to just tone it down, stop stressing my life away, and to just be present in the moment. So for example, with the children, like I actually just sit there sometimes like, you are my child. I'm holding you. I can smell you. I can feel you. And I feel like Lena 10 years ago wouldn't have appreciated that or been in a position to be able to appreciate that.
Wow. Trishan's going to love this part. So doesn't he?
Promise I won't bring him up again.
No, bring it up again. I'm loving hearing this. Okay, so now we're going to move on to talking about your creative work, Bolly Femme. And generally topics around womanhood. So what has your journey been like as a creative in the UK in this space?
I think I've had a pretty good journey, if I'm honest. I went from intense training where I built a strong foundation, great technique, to choreographing my own kind of just routines and songs at the time, no real productions. But then I got scouted into a Bollywood dance company in London and quite quickly started to choreograph for them and kind of just took lead on all their kind of artistic elements. I gained a lot of experience at the company, just within the industry, had to kind of lead a group, kind of leadership and even creatively and also dealing with politics.
Yes.
Dealing with politics within the industry. So I feel like that gave me a lot of experience. And then I went on to creating my own dance company. And then from that, Bolly Femme was born. And I mean, it's hard work, but I feel very blessed to be in this position where I have so many amazing, strong, independent women that now attend my class and get so much out of it. And it just makes me so happy to be able to share that with them. So I feel like I've had a good journey. There's been highs and lows, but I feel like everyone's journey has highs and lows. And like when I say low, I mean I have been like depressed through my journey, but I've had the right people around me and I always manage to fight my way to the top when I'm stuck in that deep, dark hole. So it has been hard, but overall, I feel like it's been a good journey and I'm just very thankful for all the opportunities, to be honest.
I'm so sorry to hear that you've been through really dark moments in this journey. I do completely agree that we all kind of in a way have, anyone who is in the creative space, because just art in its nature is so subjective. It's so abstract, right? And there will be different opinions coming into one place and, you know, there'll be conflict at times as well. It's interesting because, you know, you come across as someone who's just so lovely and also so at times probably like you probably just want to go back into your shell. How, having that personality, how do you manage kind of navigating this world when it gets difficult for you?
I think just kind of understanding people is quite a large element, and understanding why people act or react the way that they do.
Yeah.
Not making excuses for them, but just to understand and analyze, like, have I triggered off this reaction? Was there anything that I could have done to have changed it? Or is it coming from a place of insecurity for that particular person? Is there some sort of help that they need?
Mm.
So I feel like a lot of it is to do with personalities, the way we communicate ourselves with each other. What was the question? I've got off on a tangent.
It just is like knowing the kind of personality that you are.
Yeah.
You know, which isn't like kind of all guns blazing kind of thing.
Yeah.
How do you navigate it and like get yourself out of those dark places?
Yeah. I think I'm quite a calm person.
Mm.
I do get very quickly affected by comments by people.
Okay. And is that online? Is that in person? Is that behind your back?
Like, it could be all of them. Very rarely do I get comments to my face.
I wish people commented to people's faces, right?
Yeah, we need more of it. It's usually online or behind a screen or behind my back.
Trolling,
absolutely. And it does affect me. It makes me feel very inadequate. I feel like I'm not good enough for anything. I just think, why am I even dancing? Like, I'm rubbish. Like, what am I doing this for? It really does make me feel very much attacked. But, and this feeling kind of lasts for like a good week or so. But during that week, I'm going through this process of analysis. And I think I've learned to do this over time. It didn't come straight away. Process of analysis of, okay, but why did this happen? What's the reason for it? What could have been done differently? Is there a miscommunication? Does it need to be sorted out? Is it possible to sort it out?
Mm.
And, you know, unfortunately, some of the times I just have to accept it for what it is, brush it under the carpet and move forward with my own positivity, because I just think, well, I don't like how negative someone has been towards me, so why am I going to put that back out into the world? So then I just kind of take over with the positive vibe, send that out into the universe, do something that makes me feel happy, and then it kind of just fades away with time.
Yeah, and I think you've got it right, just for your own mental sanity, right? Just move on from it. So you spoke about founding Bolifem and, you know, kind of that being a big, I guess, like source of learning and training for a lot of women, but actually it's also men and non-binary people. So it is quite inclusive in that sense, which is amazing. How do you think we could become even more inclusive in the creative South Asian space?
I think that's a very interesting one, and it's probably got a lot of levels to it. But I think for me, it's the support.
Yeah.
I feel as though, particularly with the South Asian community, we don't support each other enough.
Mm.
A lot of it is competition and, you know, behind the back comments or, you know, just general negativity. And I feel as though the success of one isn't what's going to push our industry forward.
Yeah.
It's the success of all of us. So if someone does something great, we should be celebrating that person. We shouldn't be, oh God, competing. Oh, I wish I could have done that. Why did that contract not come to me?
Mm.
So I feel like the inclusivity, yeah. really, really needs to focus on bringing the community together and celebrating each other and working towards a common goal and not working against each other. And I think that's what lets us down. And that's also in my opinion, the reason why we haven't progressed in the South Asian art sector as much as they have, for example, in the States or in India.
Right.
I mean, that's a personal opinion. People can disagree if they wish. So I think just being a little bit more open to that would be a way to help inclusivity within the sector.
Mm. Okay, last section for you, Lina. This is a surprise.
Oh.
So I have gathered a few questions from the Bollyfem crew. And it's going to be kind of like quickfire style just because of the time. But I mean, some of these are like pretty deep. So let's see how we get on. So the first question is, how do you get back to or adjust to feeling like yourself with being a new mum, a doctor, a businesswoman and a dancer?
Is this rapid fire? How do I? Okay. I had an identity before I had a family and children, and I don't wish to lose that identity. So I will be a mother, but that does not mean I lose the doctor, the dancer, the businesswoman. And for some women, being a mom is like their sole purpose in life, and that's what they want, and that's absolutely fine, each to their own. But for me personally, I don't want to lose my identity because I've worked so hard for it. And I think it just makes me a better person for the rest of my family.
Mm. Just to follow on from that, and this is definitely not quickfire anymore, but there's obviously a lot of stigma and shame sometimes associated with being a mum and a dancer, or being a mum and a doctor and a dancer, probably even more. So how do you deal with that? Have you ever dealt with that shame or stigma?
Not really.
Okay.
I don't know if it's because I've just not allowed the noise to come through.
Yeah.
But I feel very confident in what I'm doing. I personally think it's the right thing that I'm doing, and I won't let anyone tell me otherwise. And that's probably come from difficulties that I've gone through in the past, and that's why I feel so confident about it. But also, I feel like on social media nowadays, you see these like moms, they're doing like fitness and they've got all these other things going on. I'm like, yeah, go on. Like, you know, why not?
Yeah, you're one of them.
Thank you.
Tell me about your fitness routine.
Right. So I had to give it a break for at least 6 weeks because I had a C-section this time around. Oh, God. So I had to, but I was dying to get back into exercise. My body was literally just like craving movement and exercise. So I just started off kind of slow with just a few kind of easy movements. I've got a bit of a dodgy knee, so I need to make sure I'm doing some squats for that to strengthen up the muscles around it. But my first and foremost is my diet. And I feel like that's a big thing when it comes to fitness. When people want to get into shape, you need to see what you're eating. Yeah. So immediately I kind of cut out, not fully, but low carb, low sugar diet is the way forward. I've tried to increase my protein because that helps with kind of muscle regeneration. And then I'm doing a little bit of cardio as well. So my skipping routine. I've actually also started to see a personal trainer because post-pregnancy, you get like a gap in between your abdominal muscles. And mine was quite prominent after my firstborn. So to help it close up after Caden was born, I've been seeing them because you can't do the conventional sit-ups and planks and things. So yeah.
Nice. I'm sure a lot of people would have liked to hear that, actually. So next question from the crew is, what have you learned since becoming a mum about the balancing act between all the roles that you play?
It is hard.
Amen.
It is so hard. And children obviously take priority. Like, for example, if I had a sick child at home, there was no way I would be anywhere else. I would be at their bedside trying to nurture them back to health. That's like, it doesn't even need to be said. I think, again, it's just balance. I like balance in my life and I like to keep organized. And they're the two things that I will always strive for. Mm. And again, it makes me a better mom. You know, when you've had your own time, honestly, being around the children 24/7 can sometimes be very draining. By the end of the day, just like, oh my gosh, I can't listen to another nursery rhyme for like the next week. So having this outlet away from that and having my own little space, even if it's half an hour each day, having that space to myself, doing adult things, is actually quite nice and makes me a better mum, because then I go back into them with a lot of energy and then I can play with them. And with boys, you've got to like turn them upside down and throw them about. Like Shane absolutely loves that. And I can do that with him because I've had me time.
Yeah.
Me time.
Yes.
That's what it is.
So important. So the next one is, have you ever considered doing dance full time other than teaching?
Yes. I considered it a lot. And I still consider it. Wow. It's a thought that comes and goes a lot, but it's really hard. Again, it comes to the stability and having my foot in the door with my GP work gives me that stability. Whereas with dance, it's very much a seasonal thing.
Mm.
Maybe not seasonal, but it comes and goes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm a type of person, I'm a very routine orientated person. I like to know that I'm going to have X amount in my bank account for the next month. And GP gives me that. Whereas with dance, it gives me that creative outlet and my passion for it is fulfilled. But it doesn't always bring in the paychecks.
Facts.
Facts.
Do you prefer performing or teaching?
I feel like I've evolved.
Okay.
In my 20s, it was all about performing. Oh, the thrill on stage is unreal. And I think I would still like that, but I stopped after my first baby and I focused more on teaching. And it's partly because the industry's changed. We're very much media-based now.
Yeah.
So a lot of stage opportunities don't come by as often as they used to. And it's all about the reels and TikTok and recording yourself at home.
We love it.
So yeah, things have changed. I've forgotten what the question was again.
Which one do you prefer?
Oh, which one do I prefer? Teaching? Performing or teaching? Oh, gosh. Now I prefer teaching. Yeah. Now I prefer teaching, mainly because as a choreographer, you bring your work to life. But if you're in that piece of work, you never get to see the actual product, unless if it's filmed, but it's not the same. Whereas if I stand back and watch, I can see the actual product and the vision that I had and whether it comes to life in the way that I wanted it to. So I'd say for the current moment, teaching.
In line with that question, the next one is that choreography-wise, where do you get your inspiration from? And after teaching for so long, how do you keep things fresh?
Okay, so my inspiration comes from a lot of Bollywood stuff, obviously. Paris Goebel.
Love.
She's just queen. She's hashtag goals. So Paris Goebel is a big go-to for me. I just love her work. It's just super inspiring and it inspires me to be a better choreographer and more creative as well. I like to watch award shows because I feel like they're quite wholesome with the formations and the transitions and the props that come out and the way they work around the artist. It's just beautiful to watch.
Yeah.
So I get a lot of my inspiration from that. How do I keep things fresh? How do I keep things fresh? So my main thing with choreography is that each of my songs are actually very different. Each of my routines are very different from each other. And that's because I choreograph to the songs and lyrics.
Yeah.
It's not just to instrumental bits or I basically interpret the lyrics into movement. And I think that helps to keep things fresh. Otherwise, if I was just creating a routine that I could copy and paste onto something else, that's just dead for me. Like, that doesn't work for me at all.
Yeah.
So I think songs inspire me. And the thing is, I find that when there's songs that really speak to me, I tend to enjoy choreographing for that more than I would if the song didn't really, like, touch me, you know?
Do you have a current fave song that you're listening to?
Do you know what? I really love Beshad Amrung.
Oh, it's good.
Partially because
I hated it.
And Shahrukh looks so hot in it.
She does. I hated it when I first heard it, but now I've watched Pathaan, I'm like,
oh my God, such a good movie.
Love.
It's so good. I'm loving that at the moment. But yeah, I need to get my mojo back. I've kind of lost it since having Caden, and that creative Lena has gone somewhere. So I need to get her back. And now that Trishan is going on paternity leave, I feel like it's my time.
Mm.
So the next few weeks, I'm going to dedicate to just spending time in the studio where I don't have to attend to any feeds or nappy changes. Mm. And I can just be in my creative zone, because it doesn't take like 15 minutes to create something. I have to be in the zone for a few hours to really delve into it and like feel it and then create. It has to happen organically as well. I can't just force that movement.
Mm.
And I can't really do that when I'm also looking after a child who needs me every 10 minutes or half an hour, whatever. So yeah, I need to get back into it.
Yeah, balancing act. But I mean, she's gone on a walk for a good reason, creative Lena, right? Very good reason.
Yeah.
Okay, so how do you think the industry has changed in your over 10 years of being in it?
I think it's changed. There's good and bad things, in my opinion. The good thing is I am seeing more inclusivity. I am seeing more people attending variety of classes, which I always promote. I love variety. Mm. I am seeing more Bollywood in the mainstream industry, which is nice. But I'd say some of the drawbacks that I find is it's hard to find professional dancers who are able to commit fully.
Yeah.
Because a lot of dancers that we come by now are doing it all.
Yes.
They are, they've got a full-on career and they're doing dance where they can fit it in, exactly as I'm doing. So it's really, 10 years ago, I guess when I was kind of dancing, I had a lot of university students, so they were available basically every weekend, every evening, whereas now a lot of people have other commitments, so it's hard to get a rehearsal date with my dancers. It is so hard. It's the hardest thing.
I hope you're all listening.
So I think that's a struggle that I find nowadays compared to 10 years ago. I feel like the variety in choreography has improved and I'm living for it.
Mm.
So things have become a lot more Western, but people are still holding on to some of the Bollywood elements. I call it Bollywood elements. It's not a very good way of describing it.
The traditional bits, the
tumkas and the folk dancing and things. So I feel like we are evolving with this kind of influence of a Western environment. And people are more open to it as well. Whereas back in the day, it would be like, oh God, she's gone off and done this. So for example, actually, I'm digressing so badly here. I was in the classical dance industry and then I went into Bollywood.
Yes.
And that was very much frowned upon.
Yeah.
Because I was leaving base training and my base, so to speak. Whereas I think nowadays it's more accepted.
Mm. What made you move out from classical into more commercial styles?
It wasn't a conscious decision. I always did Bollywood dance alongside my classical training, but it was just what I did in the background, like behind the scenes at home. I think my move to London made it happen.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really a conscious effort. It just happened to be that I moved to London and I happened to see more Bollywood here compared to classical. And that's what I immersed myself into.
Mm. I love that. I'm so glad you did. So what is your proudest achievement to date, Lena?
My proudest achievement to date. Personal life or dance life? Anything. It could
both?
Be anything.
What? One of each?
I'm obviously extremely proud of the two boys that I've brought into the world. It would be lovely to see what they grow into. My proudest dance achievement, I would say, gosh, this is a hard one.
Hard.
Something that's very memorable to me is choreographing for Will.i.am for the BBC Music Awards.
Wow.
It was wow. I mean, I wasn't wow, but it was wow. And just being in that, for the first time ever, in that commercial environment.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. The dancers in the rehearsal space, the energy that they were giving to me as soon as the music played, it was just unbelievable, unparalleled. I'd never seen anything like it before.
Mm.
And it really just, I think it set the bar for me And now I always strive for my dancers or my company or even my students to reach that level. So that was like a real good kind of realization point for me. But also just that environment, there are so many celebrities like just chilling everywhere. And I mean, the fangirl inside was like, selfie. But I didn't, obviously. just being around that talent and being able to kind of experience their tech runs and then see them actually perform as well. It was very inspiring, very, very inspiring. And I'd say that's probably one of my, it's my proudest, it's one of my memorable achievements.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. That's so cool. And you're inspiring, Lena. I kind of envision you as, you know, this like image of like a swan or a duck that's like frantically paddling underneath and then over the surface, just chilling. That's what it looks like. And I want to ask you one last question around this. So you've kind of, you know, you've been working on Bollyfem, you've got your LPLP company that you founded, you're working on BWE as well, some incredible sort of pieces of work that you've done with all of them. What do you have in mind for your sort of personal next steps, be it in Bollyfem or elsewhere in the other companies?
So I have a lot of visions, I have a lot of ideas, and to bring them to life is another question.
Yeah.
So certainly with Bollyfem, I want to grow it. I want to grow it because coming from outside of London, I feel as though I want to provide these sort of opportunities outside of London so that there's kind of equal opportunities across the country. So my aim is to grow Bollyfem, to reach out more corners of the country and hopefully at one point even take it globally. I mean, why limit yourself, right? So that's kind of my aim with Bollyfem. I do want to bring in more of a philosophical aspect to it as well.
Okay.
Just in terms of pushing through with the female empowerment that we've already done, but I want to do more around that. I don't know exactly what that's going to be just yet, and it's something that I want to look into, but I definitely want to keep those two hand in hand and push forward with it. From a kind of professional dance aspiration perspective, I want to be the best choreographer. I want to be the go-to person for companies, the entertainment industry as a whole. And I mean, that's just like a personal goal. And like I said, I don't know if I'll get there, but I'm very much a live in the moment, try and do what you can to get to where you want to. Mm. And if it happens, amazing. If it doesn't happen, at least I'll get somewhere close to it.
Yeah. And you'll have given it a go.
Given it a go.
I love that. Lena 2023, everyone. So we'll ask you the same question in a few years' time and see where you are. Thank you so much, Lena, for your time today and for sharing so much with me and being so vulnerable and open. I really appreciate it. I have one final question for you, which is actually, no. I have one extra one, which I forgot about, but I think it's a really important one, which is how do you manage to kind of dance in a sexy way and not feel kind of, I guess, shame around it and just be able to do it confidently and elegantly?
I think to answer that question, we need to understand who we are as beings.
Okay.
We are women. We've been given a certain look, we've been given certain emotions, and all this time we have been told to or guided to suppress it. But who has told us to suppress this? The patriarchy.
Yeah.
So for me, it's about understanding that I am who I am and I'm going to display that the way I want to. And whether that means dancing in a sexy way or whether it means wearing what I want to, I don't think that there should be any limitations to what we as women do or can do. And I basically just block out the noise.
Amen. Last one for you. What do you have strong game in?
What do I have strong game in? my my post Bolifem classes empowerment speeches.
Yes. Yeah.
Off the cuff, from the heart, hopefully inspirational.
Definitely inspirational. You're amazing, Lena. I love you. Thank you for being here. And we're just lucky to have you in London, and we're lucky to have you everywhere. And I know the impact you have, and I don't think you realize the impact you have. So keep doing what you're doing, because it's less about thinking about the impact and just doing you, because I think as a side effect, it's having an impact. So I just want to thank you from behalf of all of us.
Thank you so, so much. Thank you for having me and giving me this opportunity to share my voice. And I hope it's helpful for some people.